1948. I'm here with Marlene House and Mr. Sam Shapiro. Mr. Shapiro, could you give us your name and address and your phone number?
Samuel E. Shapiro, 128 North Craig Street, Pittsburgh 15213.
Thank you. Mr. Shapiro, why don't you tell us a little bit about your immediate family, your background, tell us the names, dates, anything about your family.
Which one should I start
with? Why don't you start with your parents, your family?
Parents. Mm-hmm. My father, Jaime Shapiro, died in 1959 in Pittsburgh. He came here, I believe, prior to 1895. My mother got to Pittsburgh in 1906. She passed away in 1971.
What was her name?
Sarah Shapiro, sorry.
And where did they come from? Where did they immigrate from?
My mother came from Austria.
Mm-hmm.
My father from, who knows what it is, but it's Poland now, but I guess at that time it was Lithuania or someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Russia maybe.
Mm-hmm. When did they come?
It tried 1895, that's the best I can think of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The citizenship was about 1898, so that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You still have the papers? You
no.
No kidding.
I'm not the office.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Hanging on a wall in a picture, in a frame of it.
That's great.
Oh, that's great. Uh-huh.
I have a picture of my great-grandfather.
Really?
I guess that goes back to about 1830. Oh. And I'm named for him. He was born in 1820, 1830.
Mm-hmm.
We have his photograph from the home miser down there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what business they were in at all?
I have no idea.
Old country, okay.
Did they come with their families?
Well, with my father came, on his side, my father came first, and then the rest of them followed behind.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother came with her sister in 1906 or something.
What was your sister's name?
Mary Rosenzweig.
Mm-hmm. And what did they do when they came here?
What everybody else did. They struggled for pennies, dollars or quarters, whatever, at hard labor.
Mm-hmm.
My father came through into the United States by way of Canada. He was crippled and he could never make it through Ellis Island, so they took that way through the wintertime,
mm-hmm.
so his legs were covered.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
That's how he got here. He went to New York first, and then he got to Pittsburgh, and I don't know how he did. And he went into the stogie rolling business.
In the stogie, sure. Mm-hmm.
And he owned a
cigars.
Factory. My mother worked for him. That's how they met.
And that was here in Pittsburgh.
Here in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. On the hill.
Oh yeah,
right.
He was pretty well known.
That was very common. That was not
yeah, he hired quite a few people. That eventually, not immediately. Immediately, I guess he did the work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
My mother worked for him. She came with her sister, as I said. And she came across by the name of Safer. Her name actually was Schimmelmann. But under Austrian law, she had to take her mother's name because mm-hmm. her father was not her father based on the Catholic law of Austria. So she came across under the name Safer, her mother's name, and to McKeesport. McKeesport. There's a lot of Safers in McKeesport, and that's part of her family.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
When did they marry?
1913.
And where did you grow up as a young boy?
In East End, mostly.
In East End. What street in particular?
Pardon me?
What, as particular street?
Highview Street. H-I-G-H-B-I-E-W Street.
Oh, Highview.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Grade school, high school, Hoffman.
Where was that? What schools?
I went to Rogers. I started off at Fulton, and then they changed the district. In the first 6 months, half the first grade, I moved over to Rogers School.
Mm-hmm. What year were you born?
1914, August 8th.
Mm-hmm. And do you have siblings?
Pardon me?
Do you have siblings?
As a matter of fact, I have four actually.
Mm-hmm.
A daughter, Barbara, born in 1946.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, born in 1949. there in 1951. And I have a child in a home, Molly Lloyd, born in 1957, and I have Nancy. She's still living.
Mm-hmm.
I married in 1941, November the 9th, actually, to Pearl Shapira.
Oh, isn't that something?
Really? She didn't have a hard time changing her name.
Isn't this all Shapira? Frida?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's my sister-in-law.
Oh, I didn't realize
and
that.
And Saul was Pearl's brother.
I had no idea.
She died in 1964 on Leap Year Day.
Uh-huh. That's really interesting.
4 years later, I married Marion, 1968, September.
What was Marion's last name?
Her maiden name was Levitt.
Mm-hmm.
She also went to Rogers, but I remember her from there.
Okay.
I'm a friend of Pearl's.
Mm-hmm.
Association.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I married Marion, I get the names mixed up now,
mm-hmm.
in 1968. And she had a daughter, Judy, of course, and Judy Block. And here we are, that's where we are now.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Hmm. Did you have brothers or sisters?
I have two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Howard. 2 years younger than I am, and Jason 6.5 years younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about what your home life was like? Was there synagogue involvement? Did you have a bar mitzvah?
Oh yeah. Now let's go back to that. My father, I had a great uncle. My father's uncle was Rabbi Hurwitz. He came to Pittsburgh, and apparently the competition was tough for rabbis. And first he went to B'nai Israel, they gave him a background as a chief rabbi. Then he moved over to Yeshurun, and that was Rabbi Levin at that time, Levine rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get together, couldn't get his followers. He had his own followers. So they opened up a new shul called Torah Chaim on Negley Avenue in the East End. That was, and I was bar mitzvah there the day it opened. It was Lichus Saturday,
mm-hmm.
1927. So my uncle had a shul.
Mm-hmm.
I had a place to be married. I went to Seder at the B'nai Israel.
Now, is that still there?
Well, it's right. Stand on Negley.
Yeah.
I think
I know where it is,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's not the Margaretta Street Shul.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
So what type of synagogue was that? Was that Orthodox?
Orthodox. My grandparents, of course, were Orthodox.
What about your parents?
My father was a Hebrew teacher in Europe, but after his Orthodoxy, he supported Orthodoxy, of course, since he opened up the shul.
Mm-hmm.
With his sincerity, I questioned a little bit.
In other words, what was your home life like? Was it strict?
My mother kept a kosher home.
Uh-huh.
Until my grandfather, until her father-in-law died.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, she mixed it. That's about as far as she went, though.
Mm-hmm.
A funny story, remember Dr. Lebo?
Oh, very well. I was my pediatrician. He lived right on Darwin.
Anyway, he told my mother that bacon was good for children.
Okay. And he was Jewish.
No, but he said at that time, you know.
Yeah.
So my mother made some bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandpa living with her, right next to the sewer, beside his brother, comes walking, what's your make, girl?
Smelled it.
That's the last time she had bacon.
Whether it was good for the kids or not. That's interesting. Yes, I remember him very well.
Did you have a religious, you said you had a religious education?
A very solid religious education. I can still write Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
I used to be able to speak it, but a little bit right now.
Uh-huh.
Too many years ago, I haven't done much with it since 1927,
uh-huh.
28. I was very thorough. Chumash, Talmud,
uh-huh.
Pretty much everything.
Did it stop after you were bar mitzvah?
I went 1 year longer.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Mm. What kinds of activities were you involved in then, afterwards?
I never discussed that.
That bad, huh?
My grandfather, like, to follow along with this, my grandfather came up to the day after I had bar mitzvah, and he brought the tefillin up, and then he put them on. I put them on, and that's the last time I put them on. He didn't bother me then. He did his, he made his application, he did, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a very religious man.
On to high school. Where was high school?
Peabody,
okay.
Were you involved in extracurricular activities?
Not too many, no.
Mm-hmm.
Sports, clubs?
Mostly
anything
you?
Like that?
Athletic clubs, the Kingsley House.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't go into life, huh?
No, I've no Kingsley House, but I must go there.
It's a nice Italian place.
Uh-huh. It's now the new, it's the old Selma Burke Art Center.
They've changed
everything.
Did they tear that building down?
No.
No.
The Kingsley House building, the original one on Larimer Avenue,
yeah.
Is gone.
Oh, that's it.
But
yeah.
Now the, it's still
on
East Liberty.
On Penn Avenue now.
That's right. It used to be called Selma Burke. Well, it was kind of like a community center.
Yeah. Then from Peabody, I went to the University of Pittsburgh.
Did you stay at home when you went there?
Oh, yeah.
At home?
I scheduled at Alabama, but I couldn't do that.
What changed your mind about leaving home?
I think it's a pressure, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of 1932.
Mm-hmm.
And did you finish? What did you major in?
I started out in metallurgy,
mm-hmm.
and I moved over to business.
Mm-hmm.
And then what?
And then I went into business.
You started the business yourself?
Yeah. Howie and I were vending machines, peanuts, you know, that kind of thing, put them out,
mm-hmm.
Music boxes.
Did you rent them?
We put them out on percentage.
Uh-huh.
And from the music box, had a number of used records.
Uh-huh.
So I finally, we had so many, I said, my God, this is 1937, I guess.
You mean jukebox, what I call jukebox?
Jukebox,
music box,
right.
Okay.
So we used to store at the corner of Diamond and Wood.
Uh-huh.
Sam F. Sipe Jewelry Store, right?
Sam
Sipe Jewelry.
No, it's all over.
It's 1937.
Uh-huh.
And we took that small room on a 30-day lease and
that
started
was
going.
In addition to the other business, you started this?
Howie took care of that, and it was my idea, so I went for this.
Uh-huh.
It went so well. The major record company said, why don't you put some new records on? I said, me? What the stuff is? He said, if you don't sell them, we'll take them back. I said, you've got a deal. So we started. Very successful. The first day I sold 25, 35 cent records.
That's a lot.
Not that many. It was a beginning. And then finally it progressed.
What were the records made out of then?
They were made out of shellac.
I see.
Did you know much about music at that point?
No, nothing at all.
Or what made you start? You just liked it.
I figured if I wanted to collect Len Miller or Benny Goodman, or a lot of other people do too, I'm sure. Ben Troth, that's exactly what worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a record collection yourself?
Yeah.
Probably.
I move with the trend. I don't have an LP anymore. I'm only getting rid of all those.
Uh-huh.
I'm about down out of tape now because now I'm in the compact disc.
Right, okay.
And I've got quite a few of those here, so
mm-hmm.
I even keep buying them out.
Hmm. What were things like then? I mean, you said you started it. Was the Depression still going on when you started the business?
Yeah, very seriously.
How did that affect starting it? I mean, starting a new business then must have been difficult.
Well, everything was cheap.
Uh-huh.
Wages were low. So everything was comparable. Bread was 8 cents, book was 8 cents. So you made a buck, you could buy a record too.
Mm-hmm.
It cost 35 cents.
Hmm.
Did you start out with a lot of employees? Or just
myself and I guess I must have had somebody else in there. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Then as we progressed, that small store became, we opened up the second floor with the used records and downstairs with the classical. And
in the same place?
The same room until we got there entirely through. You know, how I lost it was this, that's right. I went to the Army.
When was this?
I went to the Army May the 20th, 1942.
Uh-huh.
And I came out December the 4th of 1945. 1975, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
As I came back, I was right back into work, of course, in December. I discovered that, that my lease was up in May 1st. And somebody had taken the lease while I was in the Army. As a matter of fact, my cross-street neighbor was a family man. pushed us out. So at that point, I started scratching, so I finally took a chance on a very, very large field. It was unusual for the record, about 3,000 square feet. The Honus Wagner is now on Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you're right across from
the big store.
Yeah, now wait
a second.
That's
a big store.
Yes, it was. For that time,
right?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a big gamble, and it was very extremely successful. It just worked out beautifully.
Okay, that's what, Forbes Avenue?
Forbes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
on
Forbes,
Forbes,
right.
Uh-huh. About a block from Coughlin.
And that was the beginning of it. It was the first large record store in the United States.
Really, in the United States?
And I opened up just before Lent, and we were busy as we opened up, and of course Lent came along in Pittsburgh. All of a sudden, that big store was very empty.
Yeah, right. Well, Catholic Pittsburgh.
Oh,
closed
that time.
Down.
Now it doesn't mean anything.
Uh-huh.
At that time, it was a very serious thing.
Yeah.
Candy, Rutgers, what else did I get? Either one or the other.
And meat and everything.
Well, that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Hmm. But you were able to make it through.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, that was. Okay. I'd like to hear a little bit about your war experiences. Where exactly were you in the Army? You were drafted, I take it.
I was drafted. I was drafted in January, but I finally got 90 days to close up my. I didn't close. My wife took over.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Howie's wife, Sadie, took the other place in Easton.
Mm-hmm.
We had two stores at that time.
I see.
I went to the. I was in the engineers. I went from on May 20th. I went to Camp Claiborne. We spent some time in the United States.
Where was that camp?
In Louisiana.
Oh.
Very nice place.
A little different than Pittsburgh, though. Was it nice?
A swamp.
Yeah.
We built our own camp.
Oh, did you?
There was nothing there. But anyhow, from there I went to, we went overseas on October the 8th, 1943. That was the first large convoy that went across, as a matter of fact. Looking at some stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I have four battle stars for European theater.
Now, what did that mean? That was
four
medals that
four
received?
Four battles, yeah.
And what did you do? How brave were you?
Well, like everybody else, take care of yourself.
Yeah. And
were they given for something special?
No, nothing special. It's just that you're in a battle, and that's enough.
Mm-hmm. What battle?
It was the invasion. Northern France, or France rather, and Northern Europe and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany, we are the troop that we got in the book about just about as they opened it up.
Really?
Yeah, we were the first, some of the first troops in there. The furnaces were still needed to burn, they just turned them off maybe. We weren't allowed to touch the people were so fragile, they couldn't feed them, they couldn't do anything for them, nothing. No food, no cigarettes, no candy. And
that must have been very tough.
Must have been very nice.
I have some pictures of
this. Do you? Did you take pictures?
Somebody took pictures, yeah. Packed up bodies. And,
mm-hmm.
I talked about it the next day, and he raised all kinds of hell.
How do you
what
mean?
Do you mean?
Well, they brought the mayor into the town and made them, their bodies were laying all over the place. And thousands of them were buried 50 yards away.
These are the mayors that denied that it happened,
they
that they didn't know?
They mean no Nazis are about to belong.
Uh-huh.
They were all Nazis. They were all the kids were the most vicious of them. They were terrible.
Teenagers, you mean?
I'd watch them.
They had been schooled in that. You know,
they were young Nazis, you know. They were Sieghheil.
What?
Did they know that any of the Army personnel were Jewish? Did anybody react?
My dog
that?
Tag did not have any religion.
Mm-hmm.
I made sure I had dog tags around.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cousin, Baskin family, you might know who they are. Baskin scholarship fund of the kindness.
Mm.
Well, Navy Baskin, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him in Europe and he was killed in the invasion. And I knew he didn't have his dog tags, so I never found his body. He's one of the other identified.
Mm. Isn't that interesting? I thought they had to put your religion on the dog tag.
I have no religion. What do you want?
I see.
I had three sets of dogs.
In other words,
I wanted to suit myself.
I see. That was a protection then, in case you were captured.
I wouldn't even put J on it, I had an H.
Uh-huh. That was in case you were captured, I guess.
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, if you captured, you were gone.
Uh-huh.
You didn't have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Especially about the child.
Oh, yeah.
What about your fellow soldiers, you know, the Gentile soldiers? What did they think about all this?
They were vicious after that. We took some German prisoners at that point, right after I didn't want to beat them. I don't know what they did to them. I didn't want to watch them.
Mm.
So they were angry also?
Oh, viciously. Mm-hmm. Didn't last long, but...
Right.
Strange, I couldn't make out with any of them were Jewish at that point in Buchenwald. I tried a Yiddish and I didn't get a lot. Maybe they couldn't hear me, maybe they were too far gone, but there had to be some there. I remember a little boy running around there about this big. Where he came from, I don't know. Then we had a second experience in Germany, where we came to another concentration camp.
Which one was this?
I don't know the name of it. We had a Major Bloom, who was our medic,
mm-hmm.
from Texas, with a Texas draw, and to picture him as Jewish is very difficult.
With a southern accent.
Sometime early in the middle of April, I see him walking down the street. I said, Mo Levine, who's from Pittsburgh, and we're looking down, I see him walking with a chassid.
Mm-hmm.
But the chassid is very heavy, he's fat, he's good shape. Well, it turns out there was a concentration camp over there. I met one other person from them, a man with a child. And they seemed to be a dialect I couldn't get, but maybe he was from Austria or someplace. But they seemed to be all in good shape, except the rabbi was full of boils. And that's, I don't think it made me think maybe they're fed recently in two feet. I couldn't understand what happened there. Mm-hmm. I still don't know.
And where exactly? It was in northern Germany somewhere.
No, almost Austria.
Oh, Austria.
No,
okay.
It was just before Austria. It was Weissenberg, below Nuremberg. So, kind of benefits of that.
Because there were work camps besides concentration camps where the people were just a little bit better.
They starved them too.
Yeah, they did.
They worked until they died. It didn't make a difference.
But it's unusual that the chassid would have been.
Well, I don't understand. Meantime, we had a Baptist chaplain in our unit. And that's a Friday, and I remember this rabbi that services for I think maybe the first service in Germany after during the war, or for God knows how long. His Yiddish was so perfect.
Hmm.
That this Baptist minister stood and said what everybody said, because he understood German.
Oh, I see.
It was pretty, and he stood there. We had Milton. There must have been. I don't think we had a menu because there wasn't that many. But it was.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved with any of the people when they left the concentration camps? Did you see them?
I saw the people walking, the displaced people. I don't know whether they were Jewish or what they were. We saw thousands upon thousands pushing carts and whatnot. The guy in the concentration, there was no way they could have pushed a cart.
Mm-hmm.
They were in no condition to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they had to go, they had to transport. I'm sure the displaced persons people were.
Mm-hmm.
But they could not have done anything. They were too far gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know how many even made it.
What exactly was your job in the army in that way? You just opened, you went in to see and then you
no,
left?
No, we went in because we were there as troops and we were soldiers. I think.
Right.
And we were coming along and this is part of the way to where we're going.
I see. Yeah, that seems to be the story.
So you were involved in opening it, but you weren't involved in transporting them?
No, that the medics took them. We got warning from them, don't feed them, nothing, leave them alone.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them, walk around. I spent a whole day in that damn place almost.
Mm-hmm. Made a lasting impression.
Oh, forever.
Then you went into near Austria?
All the way to Augsburg.
Uh-huh.
And I was there the day they captured Göring.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Berlin.
And were you involved in that at all?
No.
just the word got around.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. In the Army, you go to the bathroom, everybody knows you went.
What was it like in Louisiana and in the Army itself, being Jewish?
Being Jewish.
Yeah. Or just what was it like, period?
No, not a good mm-hmm. question. It's not good. I stayed with the same unit for two of us. Mm-hmm. Milt Levine and I were the only coming out of board, 17 or 22, whichever was that. I was living on Munhall Road at the time.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I never moved into the apartment. But my address was 5680 Munhall. But the point is that we went to Claiborne with about 80 or 90 guys from that board, because they shipped us from Meade down there.
Mm-hmm.
Milt and I are the only two left out of a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not... These other ones were transferred out.
Mm-hmm.
Before we went overseas, 60-70% of them were transferred. It's all anti-Semitism. They were the Jew.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. No question. Now, I'm not a big guy, and I'm not a big fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But I was insulted a number of times. I had to stand up. I had to offer. I had to fight. And I fought, and I had to fight because hadn't I fought,
You mean physically fight or verbally?
Physically fight. Some of them turn out to be verbal. I found out the big guys, if you offer them out, they won't go.
Mm-hmm.
So once you find that out, you make a lot of noise, so everybody can hear you. And I did that a number of times. But I got very friendly with them. Very close to them. As a matter of fact, came to the end of the war. Even the captain was a little bit anti-Semitic, but I tried in the command corps before the war was over.
I see.
With him.
So after you stood up for yourself, it sounds like they treated you differently.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can't. But once you back up, you're going to hear that damn tune. And they, you know.
Let's see. So now we have you coming back.
Were you married when you went to? Yeah, let me just ask you.
When I married, I married in November the 9th, and I left on about 4 months.
Mm-hmm. How did you meet your wife?
Oh, God. Grace went. I don't know. I was a great man. I went for a long time.
From college?
No. Before. I wasn't young. I went to the Army. I was 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I married 27 and a half.
So you knew her from high school?
Well, I didn't know her from grade school. I knew Mary from grade school. They were all friends from Roger School. But at that time, that had nothing to do with being married.
Right.
Later on, I meet her.
Right. So you, I guess, dated all the way through college and on and on?
Yes, ma'am.
What made you decide to get married?
Well, I was 27 and a half already. And my father says...
How old was your wife then?
She was 24.
Mm-hmm. So did she work in the store with you?
She used to be Rabbi Lester's secretary.
That was from B'nai Israel.
Right. Yeah. See, her sister before her, Fanny Kronzig.
Mm-hmm.
It was when she had to go to work in the store, she quit the rabbi and the board in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So after 30 days, you left, and then she took over the business as well.
Well, she and Sadie and her two brothers left yet. They
right.
hadn't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they both left a little later. Jace left last. He was accepted for the Air Force. Cadets had no place for him for 2 years.
So
by the time he came to Cadets, the war was over.
War was over.
And Howie wound up for 2 years in Alaska.
No kidding.
Alaska.
There were three different theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother flew her flag. She had a 3-star flag.
Mm-hmm.
When you came back, how soon after did you have children?
December to September.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
10 months.
What kind of home did you set up? Were you?
I lived in I came back to 147 South Negley. That's the apartment just below Penn Avenue on Negley. And a year later, we bought a home on Wellesley Road, on East End.
Mm-hmm.
Lived there until 1968.
What about any family customs, or were you active in any kind of synagogue, or what kind of Jewish atmosphere was there?
Totally Jewish atmosphere. I don't care. Of course, that was on the Jewish neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was bas mitzvah, the older one. My son was bar mitzvah. My youngest daughter was not bas mitzvah. The girl had just died. Michael was born then, and everything fell apart. The whole house fell down.
Mm-hmm.
It was very difficult to control three young children. And on top of that thing in my mind with the younger one, fortunately I put her in a home immediately, and I didn't have to have her in my way.
Was she living at home with you?
Never. Mm-hmm. Never. I went to the hospital the morning after, and I was getting too much attention from the nurses. I Brady Michael, I said, what's wrong? I said, is she blind? He said, no worse, she's mongrel. And Frieda and Saul and I, we took her to the home of Scranton.
Mm-hmm.
And Frieda said to me, what are we doing here? What are we taking of this? A beautiful, gorgeous child. And the only thing is she didn't cry once.
Mm-hmm.
The Frieda said, you sure you know what you're doing? My mother did the same thing. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So he used to go visit there. And my mother says, what did you do here? He said, you know what you're doing, you know. But it was right. Bernie Michael made the diagnosis. I didn't believe it for 7, 8, 9 years.
Oh, really? Until she became older?
Yeah, that I said, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Last time I saw her was 1967. There was no, she wouldn't know me. Wild, uncontrollable, she couldn't talk.
Mm-hmm. That must have been difficult for you.
It was, I never went back.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter Barbara's been up there a couple of times. Claire lives in Ithaca, and she's not far from where she is now, but she's a high school girl, and her husband said, please don't do that to her. So I said, you're right.
It's very hard.
Your wife, let's see, your wife died when she was how old?